Are you here? Psalm 16, are you there? Let me just give you an overview. I learned that the last words in the convention should always deliver a mandate. So what are we to do? I teach them in the church, I pastor, that after the excitement is gone in the service, you should sit down and say, okay, so what did I learn? What's the correction to make? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for teaching, that's the key word there, doctrine, for reproof, to convince you, right? And for correction, the word there's epanathosis, especially means to straighten the path, used usually for healing, to straighten the path. Then it says for instruction in righteousness. So notice that in the doctrine, which is the first word, three things look like you have to do something. Persuasion is a bit passive, because when you are being persuaded, you just say, oh, I believe. Of course, you release your faith and you believe. But correction is something you have to do something about. Okay? You have to do something about it. Then it says instruction in righteousness, which is the word training or raising a child. And if you raise children, either yours or children generally, you know, children, you know, follow what you say and what you do. So that's PADIAE in the Greek, PAIDIAE. So in the service, when you are done, you should say a convention. So what's the correction that I received? Then you say, what's the training I should go for? What am I supposed to act upon? You know, sometimes when we go to church and say, okay, how was the service? I was really blessed. Okay, tell me, what blessed you? God is good, though. Yeah, that doesn't make sense. You should, in Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, when you make disciples of every nation, he says, teaching them to observe, verse 20, whatsoever things are commanded you. So there's a commandment. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So in Psalm 16, where we have looked at the word godly heritage, we're going to start from 5. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest, my Lord. Now we saw that in Numbers 18, verse 20 to 26 or more, that was affirming that he was a priest or a servant of God. Just like Adam, Genesis chapter 2:15, who was supposed to be a priest, a servant, in the house of God. The Garden of Eden is the house of God. So, a priest, a servant, and Abraham is a servant of God, Noah is a servant of God, Jesus is a servant. I have to say that we're no longer servants, but we are sons. How? And then, you now say, we're no longer servants, we are sons. And you open to Romans 8. Then the first statement in Romans, I, Paul, a servant. So the person you are reading, that you are no longer a servant, is a servant. So we are servant sons. We are son servants, okay? There are no contradictions. Where the Bible says no longer a servant, in Galatians 4:7, they are slaves. Slaves to sin, okay? That's what it's talking about. Not that we're no longer servants. In fact, in serving God, we're called dohulos. There are two words used for servants in the New Testament, two major words. One of them is diakonos, which is a deacon, where you wait upon to be given instructions, and that's fine. But the second word is duolos, which is a bond slave. A bond slave, somebody who owes, you owe an obligation. A bond slave is like, you know, the way your services are meant to pay a debt. So when you're serving, you are paying a debt. So you are obligated to do it. Okay? So we're servants of God in the sense of now don't forget that obligation is a love obligation. E.W. Kenyon made me see that it's a love obligation. You know, it's the love of Christ, okay, 2 Corinthians 5:14, that compels us. It's not that we're not doing it to get something from God. We're doing it because we have gotten everything from Him. Hallelujah. Okay, so So David is affirming here that the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. Okay? Like Hebrews 13:5. He says, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. So basically what he's saying is that the Lord is mine. And by saying that, he reminds us of the priesthood. That he's a priest. He's a king. He's a priest. He's a prophet. And his son. And I told you yesterday morning that he fits into the messianic title. Jesus fits into all the four. A priest, a king, a prophet, and the son. And I said the son is the title of the king. Psalm 2 verse 7. I've made a decree. I will not repent. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give you the even for your inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. Psalm 2 verse 7 and 8. So the king is called the son of God. Okay? Which is the one who acts on behalf of God. Even the priest is also the son of God because he acts on behalf of God. Okay? The prophet is also son of God because he acts on behalf of God. He said that son doesn't necessarily mean biological. I hope you got that. Alright. Hope you got that? Well, so now, he says, let's just drive on the point. The lines are falling onto me. I told you the word lines means measuring ropes or a region. Israel was divided into 12 tribes, so 11 of the tribes got land, except Levi. So you must have read that scripture that says, do not remove the ancient landmark. Okay? Ancient landmark is what it is, landmark. It's simple. It means there's a landmark, and that scripture is meant to instruct against greed, avarice, covetousness. That is, it's an ancient landmark that our fathers have set. That is, when they gave the land, they gave land to all the tribes. And they gave demarcation. Now, if you remove the ancient landmark, that means you are encroaching upon someone else's land. Is that clear? It's not about wearing scarf. Okay? If you want to talk about that one, there's scripture for that one, but that's not the scripture. Alright? So ancient landmark is the landmark that Israel divided the land. Now, David is saying all those lines are now falling onto him in pleasantness. I have a goodly heritage. You know, listen carefully. Why did he say that? God did not give Abraham part of the land. He gave him all the land. So what he's saying basically is, what I got from Abraham is the whole world before me. I have a goodly heritage. So we said yesterday, inheritance is not property will, or something like a nest of kings, so they give you property. I remember when my dad passed away and I had to go to his bank. So they said he had something in the bank. Somewhere, somehow, I had something in my mind. I knew my dad could be crazy, but I didn't know he was that crazy. My dad is an interesting human being. Was an interesting human being. You know, my dad is the kind of person that he stores everything. You know? So all those times I'll write emotional letters to him, expressing how I didn't like what he did, and put it under his door. He had a file for everything. So one day I read my file of 5 years of letters. Of course, I had to take the letters out of the records because he will refer to it. He's a great person at that. You know, so he's quite a crazy person. And I love him. You know, he's the reason why Chelsea is my sworn enemy forever. To people, you know. Because I told him that he didn't have loyalty. We were both Arsenal fans for years. And suddenly he switched camp. I asked him why. He gave me a very terrible answer. And I said, I give him my word that I'm going to oppose Chelsea to the end of the world. So I'm keeping my word that I give him. Just to let you know that it can't be solved. Alright, so there's nothing you can do about it. Forever. Amen. So, you know, so when he died, I thought that he had something in the bank. So I know, not that I needed his money, but I just felt there was money there. So I went, and then, he said, we bear the same name. Oh, he's Michael. You are not Michael, but we're both shepherds, so I'm fine. So I signed out. So King, by the time I got to the safe of the bank, what he kept were his certificates. He made a first class, really, so it's worth keeping. Some of us don't keep ours, there's no reason for it. So he kept it safe and secure. All his master's degrees he put there, and he said, for me, can you imagine? So I just... That's interesting, and inheritance. So I just kept in there, and I told my son, he said, that's your dad, you are my dad. So we are clear. I said, stop telling me, it was my daughter, I said, stop telling me about your dad. That's not my dad, you are my dad. Okay, I understand that part, that's fine. Okay. So when I started telling them stories, my father would have said, that's your dad. You survived, but this is me, right? I will survive you too. Alright, so the inheritance is not like that. Okay? It's a part you play. You saw that, right? Inheritance is a part you play. You play a part. So our inheritance means God has given us a part. Now, by David saying the Lord is the portion of my inheritance, it means I am playing a part in his work. He is my owner. I'm playing a part in his work. So what is God doing in the earth? Have you ever tried to wonder what God is doing in the earth today? What is he doing? You know, some people like to, I'm sure by December 31st, they'll start to speak about the new year, and not necessarily wrong, but it seems to be like pleasing the crowd. Like the election, some who get up and start to prophesy or prophesy, who will be the next governor, president, and stuff like that. That's not your job. It's really ridiculous. And sometimes we do it without shame. That's not your job. It's like prophesying about a football game. That's rubbish. You don't just make a mess of yourself. Brother Higgins said, no prophet of God is given such an office to prophesy by elections or games. It's the church. The job is the church. What is God doing in the earth today? What is our inheritance? What is he doing in the earth? One, he's building strong local churches. Strong local churches. Strong local churches. And let me tell you, what is a strong local church? The first thing about a strong local church is that they are united. Not man you, God bless you. No, don't say man united. Don't put man in front and say united. Those ones are devils. Amen. How can a Christian say I'm a devil? Whether red or blue, you are a devil. So it's bringing strong local churches, and the trait of a strong local church is not the fact that they teach strong doctrine. That's coming out, but is that they are united in one accord, right? Acts 1:15 and 16, they were in one accord. Acts 2:1, they were in one accord. Acts 4:23 and 24, they lifted up their voice in one accord. So one accord, now not under accord, amen. One accord means everybody has the same purpose. So a strong local church is where everyone is in unity. That's why look at Paul's letters. Virtually all of Paul's letters, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians to an extent, of course Romans, Galatians, Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, Paul had a strong emphasis on unity. It's almost the it is our door to reaching the world and fulfilling our vision, but it happens to be the most difficult thing. To have all of us. And the reason why we don't achieve unity is because there's an identity crisis with many Christians. People come into this church with a Yoruba mindset, an Igbo mindset, Hausa mindset. Sadly so, a Chelsea mindset, a Man U mindset. And that's not a mindset, it's fine because it's the whole arm of God that you have on you. You know, they come in with an elitist mindset. You look around and say, well, who am I like here? Then you look outside for the cars. Which car? Who's driving that car? That's like my kind of person. There are some guys like that that started attending our services. And so they now had a group of people who were either born abroad, lived abroad, or something like that. So they just found themselves. You know, I scattered them like Genesis 11. I sent one to Ikoto, Igbe, Abanoje side. Before they started doing the road, what are you doing there, PZ? Who are you? That's anti-Christ. In Christ Jesus, we lay aside all those things. Some people start gravitating towards married women. Now, I understand some things can be discussed on that level, but don't form a group. Even some people have group of women, single mothers. They do it in the churches. They just find themselves, now we can relate. And that is why we don't have the strong local churches. Because people still have a worldly, carnal mindset. What is God doing in there? He's raising and building strong local churches. And the first characteristic of a strong local church is unity. It's not prayer. If you pray intensely and you're not united, it's +5, -20. So unity is a first characteristic of a strong local church. And to achieve unity is to have a single leader. That's how to achieve unity. A single leadership is how you achieve unity. Let me say something that is important. You know, Jesus called Peter, okay, and his brothers. He called them together. In Matthew 4, he called them together. He saw them together. Of course, Luke gives us another rendering in Luke 5, but let's stick with Matthew 4. And when Jesus was about to leave, about to die, in Matthew 16, Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed are thou, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood has revealed unto you, but my Father is in heaven. I give you the keys of the kingdom." Now, there's been a dispute about who did Jesus give the keys to. They're talking about the church. By basic rule of Bible hermeneutics and interpretation, he was talking to Peter. And in case you want to see a backup to that, a confirmation of that, on the day of Pentecost, it was Peter who spoke. Are you with me? So, he chose Peter. Then, and of course it was James and John, at two different occasions. But when he rose from the dead, in fact, before he rose from the dead, before he died, he said, "Simon Peter, Satan had desired to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you." He didn't say, "I prayed for all of you." "I prayed for you. When you are converted, strengthen the brethren." He chose one person. He chose everybody, but chose one person. Then in John 21, verse 15, 16, 17, 18, he says to him, "Simon Peter, love thou more than this, feed my lamb." He was talking to the 12, the 11, or the 120. When they were going to replace Judas, it was Peter who spoke.
That is why they were in one accord. That's why Paul wrote to them in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 5:12. He says, know them that labor over you, all right, and are over you in the Lord. Know them. And he says, you revere them very highly for their in love for their work's sake. And he says that so that there will be peace. So the way to achieve unity is to have a leadership. You know, some of us don't know what I'm saying. I'll say it in clear terms. You know, you can have somebody who brought you to church, and it's your friend, your husband, your colleague at work. That's not the leader. The leader is the pastor. And whoever the pastor delegates that duty to at each point in time is acting in the stead of the pastor. That's the way to achieve unity. And a lot of Christocentric, as we call ourselves, what people do not know what I'm saying. So they will be fetching water inside a basket. A lot of energy. But a basic principle is missing. When God said to David, I mean, David, not Moses, and he said, see, you can't leave my people to the land of promise. Moses said in Numbers 27, I think that's about verse 16, 17. He said, okay, fine, I'm not going. So, who should lead? He said, you've got to choose a man, one man, who will, now they had elders already, to lead the congregation so that your people will not be like sheep without shepherd. He said, one man. And then Joshua came. So, that's how to achieve unity. One leader, one line of instruction. That's how it is. That's how to achieve unity. One line of instruction. Imagine if everybody here does what he or she wants to do now. This would be a madhouse. Or we just say, well, we're not going to choose a time for church. Just come to church when you are led. You wouldn't even come. When you are led. We cannot be under control of that. Let us be led by the Spirit. Then even the keyboard will not be here. Nothing will be here, sir. We'll just be at the door and say, what's happening now? We are all led now. That's why we are at the gate. What brought order was that someone gave the leadership. Sunday, 8 a.m. Wednesday, 6 p.m. This person will lead the prayer. That person, that is how to achieve order. And when there is disorder, there can be growth. So strong local church is united, and unity is achieved by leadership. That's what God is doing in the earth. A strong local church is based on how united they are. Singular purpose. I told someone one day who said he has one program. He went to preach somewhere. He's not a member of our church, so I wasn't talking about our church. He said the pastor is upset that he went to preach somewhere. So I gave him my story. And when I was in the university, I was already pastoring, okay? And I had a lot of itinerary. There were years that I spoke for 51 weeks in a year, talking about in the 90s. And then I went to the pastor of the fellowship, who, interestingly, could have been younger than me in the faith, I'm not sure. And I said to him, before I joined this church, before I came on this campus, I was a pastor. And just like your own fellowship, I have a church I pastor. But I decided to submit myself to the authority here. So I said, this is my itinerary. If there's anyone you think would not work with the mission of the church, let me know. I'll drop it. And I said that to him. Now, of course, I think I would have done things differently today. So I told the guy my story, and I said to him, I said, imagine if every member of this church were just like you, and they had commitments in different places. What do you think will be happening here? Usually, those who do things like that are selfish. Think about others. If you came late to the service today, for example, the service is 7:30, and you walked in at 7:45, if everybody did what you did, this service will not start on time. Okay? Are you following what I'm saying here? Yeah. So where there's this order, there can be growth. We all have to have a common purpose. There's no reason why we all can't arrive at the same time. There's no reason for that. Why we all can't arrive at the same time. We get early to catch our flight for visa interviews. People even sleep very close by. Visa interview, job interview. Ah. Like I told someone one day, I said, Pastor, I don't know what's happening. But our ministry, I just forget to do this. I forget. I said, you are not forgetting. You just have priority problems. Pastor, I have priority. I said, you don't. I said, and I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever forgotten to go to work? Ah, never, sir. You see? Imagine they called you at your office and said, Shago, where are you? It's today Monday. It's today Monday. It's today Monday. Oh, I'm supposed to be at work. And I'm saying, I'm going to work with you. What are you saying? So I said, you have a priority problem. You don't even forget to eat. Yeah. So how did you forget to do a follow-up, to send a report of a meeting you had? It's because you didn't take it seriously. Are you with me? Or you say you forgot your flight. You forgot you were supposed to travel. You bought the ticket. In fact, these days that tickets are on the high side. Use your first fruits to buy tickets. So you know that you forgot. You did what? There was one of our staff who got to the airport late, and we had bought the ticket very high. I said, Oga, and they canceled the flight. And I said, you cannot do this with. I said, look, I'm taking that money back from you, from your salary. The truth is the truth. So you know, unity is number one in the house of God. One accord. That's why Paul kept writing about unity. Imagine after all he had taught them, he wrote about unity. So what's God doing in there? He's building strong local churches. Who? One. Two things. Will learn to flow with the Spirit. To flow with the Spirit. Now, I must say this. We are in a generation where technology seems to be taking the place of many things. Human relationships. You find couples chat themselves in the same house. Only, where are you? Kilo Shelley. In the same house. And I want married couples to reduce having exchange on telephones. Usually, in many conflict resolutions, just seeing ourselves physically reduces the tension by half. And usually when the devil wants to create division, he won't want you to talk to that person. So I tell married couples, and any couple whatsoever, male and female, sorry. Jesus. Not whatsoever. Male and female, married or about to marry. Not Eve and Evelyn or Adam and Steve. You know, reduce it. When we talk. My dad used to say something before he passed. He said, when we see, we'll talk about it. And that made our communication better. You know. And you know, people usually look at devices in form of commercial things. After I have a client in the US, we've not seen now, and we've made money. Mm-mm. Life is more than money. It's not about money. Right? It's not about money. It's about serving God and pleasing Him. Okay? So we have the technology that's supposed to be useful. But somehow, it has replaced. You know, sometimes you'll be in the house, and everybody in the house is not talking to each other, but they're talking to other people on their phone. One day I told them at home, I said, what's happening? You are with your phone. Everybody, and we're all in the same place, and we're there for a long time. I said, yeah, submit your phones. Let's be tired. Are we tired of ourselves? What is this kind of thing? Well, you are chatting with somebody else, you are lying to someone else, and when you are chatting to someone else, you're lying, and they call your name, check and say, you are not funny with the person with you. Now, I said that because of this. There's more to church than just the teaching. There's the flow of the Holy Ghost. Impartations of the Spirit
That's why Paul will say, I long to see you. In Romans 1:11. That I might impart to you some spiritual gift. So, God or strong local churches who will flow with the Holy Ghost. I then really, I'm not talking about the word, because I know you are well taught. I know that's not something I need to talk about. You know, who know how to flow with the Spirit. And that flowing with the Spirit is achieved more when we come together. So I'll leave you with these words. Be very strong in your commitment to gathering with believers. Be very strong. Your commitment to it must be unalloyed. It must be unconditional. Loving to gather with God's people. In Psalm 122 verse 1, David said, I was glad when they said, let's go to church. In Psalm 23 verse 6, he said, goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, David can't be talking about the temple because he didn't build any. In the house of the Lord, he didn't build any temple. There was no temple when he was there. It was basically the tabernacle. The house of the Lord is the oikia of the New Testament. You know, the begif of the Old Testament, it means the people of God forever. What is God doing now? He's raising strong local churches. So you should ask yourself, how am I making this church stronger and more effective in its mission? I told you, it's by looking up to our leadership, taking instructions from them. You must have a saying, sorry, I use Proverbs, like Jesus, that is, when we don't choose one person, right? And I say, this is one person, that's the one. I have a group of friends, and I told, one day we were talking, and I said, look, I know we all talk, we are with Jesus and all that, but there must be somebody that has the last say. Yeah, somebody must have the last say. That's how to achieve effectiveness. There were some guys in church, I think it was late, somewhere in the 2000s, when we were using BlackBerry. So they said, Pastor, we want to have a BlackBerry group. So what do you want to do? They said, we'll be studying the Word of God together and all that. So I asked them, I said, who will be in charge? They said, we've never thought about it. I said, you are ready for chaos. Who will be in charge? Nobody. I said, it's only a monster that has more than one head. Somebody must be in charge. You know why? You know what happened? They could not agree on who to be in charge, so the thing never took off. Imagine if they had started. So we look at someone. Who is in charge? In my department, who is in charge? In my cell group, who is in charge? In my fellowship, who is in charge? Very important. Then we said the unity, right, is what brings a strong local church. And we said, he wants to have strong local churches who know how to flow with the Holy Ghost. Flowing with the Holy Ghost. Flowing with the Holy Ghost. In the gifts of the Spirit. In the demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. The demonstration of the Holy Ghost. How much of the flow of the Holy Ghost do you have? Or have you had? Or are you having? Or are you experiencing? 1 Corinthians 12:1, Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. It's too clear in 1 Corinthians 12:31. He says, covet earnestly the best gifts. 1 Corinthians 4:1. Again, he says, to desire spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:39. He says, covet to prophesy. Forbid not to speak with tongues. So if you don't have a boiling desire for the things of the Spirit, you are backsliding or backsliding or about to backslide. There are three things. You are backsliding, ongoing process. You are backsliding, past tense. Or about to backslide, prophecy. One of the three is happening. So you check yourself. Suddenly you're not bothered that you don't have word of knowledge, word of wisdom. You don't interpret tongue. You don't bother anymore. That's it. And don't deceive yourself. Don't say, eh. You know, some people, you deceive yourself until, you know, maybe the doctor, you went to a doctor, and then the pain is inside your anus. And you say, a woman doctor. Or a small boy. You say, where is the pain? It's just somewhere around here. Oh, cool up. Oh, so tall. You better tell the truth. You know, he said, no, I'm fine. Doctor Golomaku now. If you go and meet someone and say, what's happening? Say, I'm fine, sir. Pastor, I'm really fine. We don't see a prayer meeting. Well, it's just my day. You know, I'm fine. You are not fine. Do you understand? You shout, Pastor, I'm not fine. Oh. The last time I interpreted tongues was the day of Pentecost. Pastor, oh, I no longer pray up to an hour. Oh, don't say, I've been very busy. Then you now be looking for theology that will help you. Then you go on Facebook, people say, it's not about prayer, it's about brainwashing. There's more to the Holy Ghost than rejoicing and prayer. The Holy Ghost gives ideas, gives innovation. Hey, continue. I wish my pastor can catch this. And the rivers of Babylon. Shout and say, Pastor, I need flowing with the Holy Ghost. Finally, I'll close here. A church that is united, we said that, strong local church, is flowing with the Holy Ghost and mission-minded. Mission-minded. So that all of us, the church Jesus founded in the four Gospels, they were mission-minded. Go into all the world. Make disciples of every nation. Mission-minded. Imagine you went for NYSC and then you came back after 1 year and all you gave to us was you were Pastor, hey, that's a walk. That's all you came back with. You know, and you have pictures. Pictures. Ah, Nigeria is a big country. That 1 year. I taught in one school. I did this one. 1 whole year. Photo and khaki. Is what you gain back with. No, sir. No. You went for a 3 month course in Europe. 2 months course somewhere in Kenya. With mission mind. A Christian knows that change of location in the Bible is a mission. Simple Bible fact. We are mission minded. The earth is our mission station. And we are missionaries. So what's God doing in the earth? He's building strong local churches. Who learn to flow with the Holy Ghost. And are mission minded. How do we build strong local churches? It's unity. One accord. How do we build unity? Having a single leadership that we look up to for instruction and guidance. Flowing with the Holy Ghost. I said it's achieved greater when we come together. Again in one accord. And we're mission minded. Learn something. Let's stand to our feet and just pray. In dedication.